is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-855-662-4743. That's 1-855-ON-AIR-HF.
Yeah. Time for Talkie Talk. It's Talkie Talk time in the city, people.
It's Talkie Time in the city.
People talking.
Dust going.
It's Talkie Talk time on the 1st of November. On the 1st day of November, my true love gave to me some talking from Canada. Let's
squawk, squawk.
On this, man, I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you something right now, people. The Humble and Fred Show is on the air everywhere. It's great to be with you, Mr. Patterson. Mr. Patterson.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, what's happening downtown?
You know, just looking in the newspaper today, you know, our friend Derek Welsman. Remember that controversy on the Dean Blundell show? They were mocking homosexuals and... He was the jury foreman, and there was some question on how it would affect. Well, yesterday, the Ontario Court of Appeal quashed a sexual conviction after it found the trial jury foreman undermined the perceived fairness of the justice system. So he's played a huge part in this.
So for people who don't know, he was producing the Dean Blundell show. He's a great guy, Derek Welsman.
Wonderful.
And he was producing the show. He's legally blind. Not that that's anything to do with this case, but it's, you should know it.
It doesn't get you off the hook.
No. Now, he talked about the case while he was a juror.
Right. And he was instructed not to as the jury foreman. And then it was pretty well determined that, you know, after listening to that segment of the show, one day or over a couple of days, that he was almost mocking the instructions of the judge. And went beyond what was fair.
Well, he was talking about the trial, and they were making fun of this guy being a homosexual, and that, you know, forget that part, which is reprehensible.
Oh my goodness!
But the idea was that he was discussing the goings on of a continuing case,
something in a bathhouse, and
whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I didn't see it in the news this morning. I had it sent to me by our neighbor. My friend Lawyer Roots,
right,
who is a criminal defense lawyer, and she said, you got to be careful what you talk about on the radio, and she sent me the decision this morning.
Yeah. Oh, did she really?
Yeah. She said she thought I would find it interesting, and I says, well, I do find that interesting.
Now, Welsman,
very interesting.
As the jury foreman was on, Derek, Blind Derek, is that what they call him?
Blind Derek, yes.
And the thing is, you know, most of the responsibility rests on his shoulders because I imagine he initiated the talk, or even if he didn't, he went to areas that he should not have. He was not in it alone.
No, to be fair to Derek, he was being egged on by the evil one, the evildoer.
Well, did you hear it? That might not be necessarily fair either.
Well, have
you read the transcripts? Have you listened to the replay?
Well, here's what I know. Derek,
watch
your... What?
What okay. You're saying? You got to
right,
be fair
fine.
And up the middle. This is serious business.
Is it? I'm sorry, because I'm still kind of... I wanted to get back to... It's chatty chat time in the city. You wanted to get right into the meat of the show. I wasn't even psychologically prepared.
Oh, because it's legal, and it's radio, and it's...
All right.
It's compelling.
Okay, so
anyway,
he wasn't being led on by evildoers.
No,
allegedly.
The only thing is, I don't see any beyond... a retrial, the implications for Derek, whether this could be any further.
This has led to a retrial?
Yeah.
Wow.
According to this article. Blundell, who now hosts a sports talk show on Fan 590, when contacted Monday, had no comment.
Wait a second. You almost said when contacted. That's funny.
Yeah.
When contacted Monday, Blundell said, I don't do that.
Take off your headset.
Said no comment. So, I mean, you either think, you know, is he weaseling and letting his buddy take the, you know,
take the fall.
Or, yeah. Well, to be fair, as his lawyers or lawyers around his interests are saying, hey, just fuck, keep your mouth shut. This is what got us in the problems to begin with. Because that show was pretty well canceled on the heels of this.
Yeah, I guess. Was Todd still with him at the time, or had Todd been let go?
No, I don't think Todd was there. But again, that timeline...
You know who was there,
That timeline, Howard, I'm not familiar with.
Well, it was in the fall of whatever that was, 3 or 4 years ago. And you know who was on the show with him that? Who was, I think, either had become the official co-host or was filling in and co-hosting was Billie Holiday.
Right.
Not the original blues singer, folks.
But a radio lady.
And a very nice one, too. Used to be part of Mad Dog and Billy here in Toronto. And she had, strangely enough, she'd been out of work for a couple of years and I think had caught on with the Blundell show and had become the permanent host. Mm-hmm. And then that all came about and then they were fired again shortly after.
It says here, the Star, the Toronto Star, the newspaper, wrote about Welsman's conduct in December 2013. That's hard to believe, 3 years ago. It just shows you stuff moving through the courts. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this guy...
Yeah, Todd was, you know, now that I think of it, Todd was gone because he's just passed 3 years at Sirius XM or coming up to it. And
anyway, the reason I, you know, I know it's sort of old news, but we had talked about it at the time and it was quite the thing. You know, the largest market in Canada, largest radio market. It was quite the controversy and it has now taken the next step.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Derek...
Crazy man.
Derek, mm-hmm. being a blind individual, mm-hmm. it's also of note that I took Derek and his wife, can't remember her name, flying with me. And I let him fly the plane. I have some video somewhere of Derek flying, because he always wanted to go flying.
Now, does our friend Howard have big balls or what? He let a blind man fly
an airplane. Because he'd always wanted to do that. And when I got my license, we used to kid about, you know, would you ever take me up? I said, absolutely.
You know, Howard, how the Lord has allowed you to survive this long just blows me away. It just says something about the Lord.
Sky Muppet and I, we is tight.
The Lord could have said, I want Howard, and taken you.
No.
But instead, the Lord said, Howard is doing all these crazy things, but I will leave him on earth to teach others.
Hey, listen, if you knew your scripture, you'd know the passage about teach a blind man to fly and he can fly forever. Or something. Give a blind man to fish.
Yeah, fish a plane.
Give a blind man some fish and let him find the chips. Let the chips fall where they may.
And the vinegar will come.
We had an interesting discussion. Hi, everybody. On the show today, we're going to be talking about the beers. The fine people at the legendary Brick Brewery, Ontario's largest Canadian-owned brewery. We like these guys for a lot of reason because, you know, the Humble and Fred show is largely Canadian-owned. And isn't that strange? I just started talking about them, and they're at our door.
Already?
Yeah, man. Anyway, they're coming on to talk about one of their beers.
That's interesting what you say, now the largest, because what people would perceive as the largest are now foreign-owned.
Yeah, because they're multinational conglomerates.
This is Ontario's largest Canadian-owned. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I don't know where it stacks up in the rest of the country. We're going to find out, is my point.
Plus, they have the Canadian rights to a beer that I love when I'm in the United States.
And what's that beer?
Landshark.
Mm-hmm. Talking about Landshark, but I thought I had a million. There's a million things. Like let's not get to the end of the show and then rush to get things in.
Well, that's why I started with the hot news of the day.
The meat.
We have an intern that's been with us for a little while. His name is Brian Barron.
Brian. Mm-hmm.
Brian. And yesterday I think we mentioned briefly about Brian's brother.
Yes, we did, yes.
Who suffers from some mental issues and a few days ago wandered away. The family had no idea where he was. And Brian, through our audience, put up some stuff on social media. And just for everyone's information, Brian's brother is okay. But I wanted to get Brian on the show because I didn't know his, I mean, his brother's obviously suffering from something, schizophrenia or some mental illness, because they were worried that he might have just wandered off. Had no idea where
he
was.
How old is he, 27?
26, 27, something like that. I know.
And usually when someone of that age has gone missing for a while, it's really not news or not a crisis.
Sure.
But obviously, if somebody suffers from something, then it takes on a whole different look. And that was the case here.
This was put out by the Aurora Police. York Region. Yes. Sorry. It says Aurora here, though, Phil.
Oh, I think it's because he was last seen in Aurora. Or he's from Aurora.
York Regional
Phil
Police.
Phil knows, Phil.
Yeah, he was last seen in Newmarket. Right. Mm. Yeah.
It's YRP, York Regional Police, York duty officer. What?
York, yo, if they were a rap group.
Phil, we're talking about a guy that has been gone missing.
Phil, we're being serious.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. This isn't a rap single.
YRP. Informer. Okay, I'm going to stop.
So the York Region Police, I guess the duty officer.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when I look at this because I guess whoever is the duty officer on duty in any 12-hour shift on this police force mm-hmm. has access to their Twitter. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Duty
officer.
All we are surrounded by are guys like us who think duty's funny.
It's funny when you said duty.
No,
I was going to interject, and I thought, no, that's just too stupid.
It's not though. It's clearly not too stupid because it made me laugh. The duty officer. What's his job? He's wiping everyone's bum. We got the guy from Brick Brewing.
Well, we
should try. Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, we should try and make this as intelligent as possible.
You're professional.
We got what?
Professional.
Professional. We should make this professional.
Are we moving on?
I don't know. Did you not have anything else to say about a guy's brother who goes missing and has now been found?
It's a great ending. Yeah. That's what I'll say about that.
Okay.
Everyone's safe, and I'm sure they're dealing with it.
What did you want to bring up next?
Well, Halloween.
Yes.
Where were you last night?
I was with my daughters at their mother's handing out candy.
Was there decent traffic?
Huge traffic,
really?
Man. Huge traffic. Crosstown. Crosstown traffic.
So you have no idea about the traffic here at the Humble and Fred World Headquarters.
I got back here around 8:30, and it was a ghost town on the street. No pun intended, but back here in the residential area, it was still kids running around. It's pretty busy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing at my place. I went to see the kids, my grandchildren, go out, and then they weren't feeling very well, so they just went out for a few minutes. Delise and I, we were going there, so I didn't buy any candy. And when we arrived home, we thought it was safe enough, late enough, that we wouldn't be caught with our pants down, so to speak.
And yeah, that's quite a show for the trick-or-treaters.
That's a treat.
And
that's
a treat. Trick. Wouldn't you know we're home about 10 minutes? At least didn't turn the main light off in the foyer. And a knock comes to the door. So we're both in the kitchen just sort of like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then Delise, of all people, said, just wait here until they go away.
Delise.
And they did, and I felt horrible. I really did. Like, I thought, what would it have taken just to get one little bowl of candy just in case somebody happened to buy? And we had a box, like we buy at Costco, of gum. Like Excel and all that stuff. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And I said, should I go give them a pack of gum? And she said, no, don't do that.
That is funny.
That's probably worse than ignoring them, right?
Go give them a pack of gum.
Keep your breath fresh before the chocolates.
No, I just thought it's funny. It's like, what would most people, like, have in their home? Maybe gum might be something. But if you don't have any candy, then you start looking in your cupboard like, quick, give them some tomato paste.
Triscuits.
Give them Triscuits and tomato paste.
Give them a bottle of Baby Ray's.
But what?
Baby Ray's. We've got a six bottle.
Baby Ray's?
Yeah, Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. It's great.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I could have because there's about six bottles up there.
It's like,
for
quick,
whatever
doll,
reason. Yeah.
Open the tomato paste and give me some Triscuits, and then I'll put them on the Triscuits. Here you go, little. What are you, a witch? Would you like some tomato paste and Triscuits?
How about a bottle of ketchup? It's Canadian.
Oh, you know, every year we go to the Pattersons. It's very nice. They put a little bit of tomato paste on a Triscuit and some Baby Ray's.
What did Randy give away?
Well, thank you for asking. Because
why?
Because I just thank you for asking.
Okay. Little chocolate bars, I bet.
You know, she's a funny girl, my ex-wife. She's pretty funny. And she gets very panicky. So there was a bag of Jolly Rancher lollipops that were, I don't know, whoever was working that day at quality control at the Jolly Rancher factory. Like, it was almost like these lollipops were so bad. It was like because I love Jolly Ranchers, but it was like they made them on a, they went, I don't know, let's just flatten out some Jolly Ranchers and put them on a stick. And so we had those. They were like crap. Then we had a box of M&Ms, peanuts, non-peanuts, and a few things. And one of my kids, Krabby Joe, she says, we can't give those out to children.
Why not?
I said, what? She goes, they've got nuts in them. I go, you please just relax. I said, you know, the parents go through the candy.
And what if it touches something?
Exactly. She was all freaked out. And I said, you know, honey, Spencer, I said, you know, Spenny, it's Halloween. You know, I don't think you need to worry because parents are going to be taking their little kids out and they'll vet the, if they are nut averse, they'll get vetted. But you know what's interesting? So she made a big stink about that and we all mocked her. But a bunch of kids came to the door, and I took my turn, and I said, are you okay with some nuts, little Batman or whatever?
Nice question.
Yeah, I said, are you okay with, I didn't say it like that.
Are you okay with some nuts? I'm wearing my short shorts.
I got the nuts. Now, that's ridiculous.
I know.
No, that's that doesn't fly.
Okay, I know.
I didn't. I mean, we're trying to be professional here. Hey, if you like to see some, you like to see something anyway, that looks like a walnut.
Anyway, yes. And what did she say?
No, these little. What I was going to say, I asked a couple little kids. Hey, little Spider-Man, are you okay with M&M peanuts? And the little kids, they know. They got the language. No, I have no allergies.
That's good.
I'm okay. I'm not allergic to nuts. Like three or four kids.
Good.
They've all got their EpiPens with them. Have you? I would like some M&Ms and an EpiPen. Could you recharge my EpiPen? Anyways, I said on Facebook last night, it was sweet because both of my daughters, my daughter who is 22 and has a job downtown, rushed home so that they could be there to give out candy because this is their first Halloween in their new neighborhood, which is about 10 minutes from here. And it's a very densely populated, lots of young families. So it was great for all of us. But for me, they came home and they got dressed up and they put makeup on so they could give out the candy. And I was telling Phil, like, you know, they gave out candy, you know, during dinner and about 7:30 when they were done dinner and we were finished. It got boring by that point. They went, I said, what are you guys doing? They go, we're getting dressed up. We're going. I said, you're going where? They went out around the neighborhood asking for candy.
No.
They went trick-or-treating.
They went trick-or-treating.
Your girls?
Yeah, 18 and 22.
No.
Yes. Yes, guy.
Lucky they didn't come to my house.
Oh,
I would have had a word or two.
Well, you know, lucky they didn't come to your house because they would have got Triscuits and tomato paste.
Barbecue sauce.
You're kidding. Kidding, aren't you? And you let your 18 and 22-year-old quote? I don't know about that.
Yeah, well. You know, now
and
you
did
do.
They get candy?
I don't know. I left.
And I wonder how they were received when
They both are very cute. And they probably went, you know, I don't know. Call them. Give them shit. Tell them they shouldn't have gone.
Well, it's just very, because I know it sometimes over the years when, you know, later in the evening when the door knocks and these mature young adults are standing at the door, it's almost like, okay, here's
but you know,
some candy.
I didn't see them go. All I did, I left before they left.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only imagine if my two daughters came to the door, they're past the older teenage kids that used to come and you'd be like, sorry, you're 16. Go buy your own candy. You know, they're of an age where they're, maybe it was cute for them to go to a couple of doors in the neighborhood. I don't know. Maybe they went next door to Tony's. Tony the tomato guy.
Oh, yeah. To the tomato guy.
But go ahead.
The cutoff.
Shit on my kids.
As far as please. I'm concerned, the cutoff.
Take a big dump on my children.
I think grade 8 is the last year you should go out.
No way. Yeah, I agree with you.
13. Like, once you're in high school, leave it to the little kids.
Yeah. Fine. Mm-hmm. But my kids were putting on makeup. They had the makeup on for giving out the candy. And then they went and put on some costuming. And they were going to go dick around the neighborhood. I don't know. Well, I know. I should have said, girls, Come on.
Well, maybe the neighbors, when they arrived at the door, thought, oh, this is cute. These girls obviously are a little slow, so we'll give them some candy.
You know what?
What?
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed the neighborhood people thought my daughters were slow adults. I should have said, girls, if you go out, just try and do a little.
Come on now.
Try and do. What do you mean, come on now? By the way, if you're following us on Twitter, you should. It's Humble Fred Radio. We don't talk about that enough. Idris is here, one of our producers and social media directors. He will be tweeting and Facebooking during this program. But somebody just sent something 6 minutes ago. Somebody said, discovered at Humble Fred Radio recently and loving every minute of it.
Loving every minute of it.
Load Rolls. What is that sound? Made up. He's a Belgian. Load, L-O-D-E, is a Belgian-Canadian journalist, airplane pilot, traveler, father of two, lives in Brussels and Toronto.
Oh, bonjour, or good.
So he's hanging out. He's a podcaster as well. But, no, I agree with you. I know, you know, big kids, you know, shouldn't go out, but what, I'm going to...
Something else I noticed.
Had a beautiful time with my kids. Should I have done?
No, that's fine. Something else. I put on the Raptor game, and there's a ton of people dressed up at the Raptor game. So they zoom on this kid near a courtside, this young black girl dressed as a witch in white face. What about that?
You mean she painted her face in white paint? And
what about that? What about that?
I'm sorry.
You didn't even hear what I said.
Well, because I was directing some traffic here.
There was a young black girl dressed as a witch.
Yes.
In white face.
What's white face?
Her face was all with white
painted
makeup.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's your point?
I'm just saying it's one of those things, right? Roles reversed and it's like, oh my goodness, how can you do that? I just thought it was amusing. I don't care. I thought, oh, there's one of those amusing reversed, you know, PC things, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's all. Observation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bit of a question, though. Did she paint her face white because she looks all pale because she's a witch? Or is she painting her face all white because she wants to be Angelica Houston?
That's right, Phil. Yeah. Great question.
I have no comment on that.
No?
Nope.
All right. What's that?
That's probably a truck or a car passing by. Oh, is it heating? Yeah, there you go. We've got heating.
Idris,
hey.
Can you, does he know how to do it?
Dude.
Maybe we should go turn it off.
Oh, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, can you do that?
Yep.
Thanks.
Means house
access. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know.
But nothing, I'm just saying, that was an observation. Also, I observed last night, driving back through Georgetown, a lot of the costumes nowadays actually have lights. Like, you're actually illuminated. So when I look down the street, so you know those little, I guess, solar or little battery packs? And then,
sure.
The kids are, like, flashing, of course, so they don't get hit by cars and what have you.
Well, you know, it's funny because I drove around my ex's neighborhood. I was very cautious when I left, but I kind of forgot by the time I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it was around the early 8, so I just didn't really think about kids still Halloweening. And I came into the neighborhood about 3 blocks from where we are, and there were still a lot of kids out, and a few of them were illuminated, which I think is a great idea because... You know, you can kind of get, you know, you can sort of forget it's Halloween.
Oh, that's right.
Especially if you come off a sort of a major road into a neighborhood, and all of a sudden I'm like, all these kids, at first I was like, what's going on? Oh, yes, it's still Halloween.
And kids
10 minutes later.
Back and forth, and, you know. And Baby Jean, he went out as somebody from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
What's the guy's name? There's a guy.
There's a guy?
Yeah, the
you
guy.
Mean like Billy Crystal, like
Billy Crystal guy.
Johnny Budd or something. I forget
the big-eyed guy.
Yeah. He's, I saw, what's his name?
Mike.
That's right. But he had the big eye and then just a cap, right? You don't wear masks anymore either, right? Because they're dangerous, apparently. Because you don't have good peripheral vision.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
But he looked, his big eye walking around.
Yeah, you look great. And what was May? I saw the picture
know.
Of
I don't know what May
Baby
was.
John and May.
Baby
May.
Don't know what she was.
You know, it's interesting.
No, I'm the grandfather.
Weren't you over there?
Yes.
Did you not inquire? What are you dressed as?
No, well, the thing is we left before. It's a long story. No, she went as Boo. Oh, Mike Wazowski and Boo. Who's Boo?
Oh, Boo's, Boo's a little the child, kid, the child that wanders into the monster area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so that's who she went as. Boo.
Yeah, she looked really cute.
Yeah, she did.
So it's funny because my ex-wife and I had lived together and separately in the suburbs for a very long time. We moved to Mississauga in the early 90s, then to Oakville in the late 90s, and other than a little brief stint with me living downtown part-time with lady friend, the two of us have basically been in the suburbs for over 20 years. Well, now she's living in a very ethnically diverse neighborhood, as am I, if you call diverse mostly Italian. But last night, it was cute because, you know, I really was excited to go and hand out candy with my kids because, you know, going trick-or-treating as older kids aside, it was just neat to be around them, seeing them get ready, seeing them be excited. And then going in the door with them, you know, the typical things. What are you dressed as? The first couple of kids that came to our door were really, really small, and they were with their bigger sisters. And one was with their bigger sister and their mom. And the second group that came to our door, nobody spoke English. Like, it was just interesting because I was like, I think it was Spanish. It's Spanish or, like, maybe it was Portuguese. But we were saying, and what are you dressed as? And it was almost like there wasn't a whole lot of commonality in the language, but it's a very diverse neighborhood. So it was kind of cool being in a neighborhood that's so different than the one that the girls grew up in. I mean, it's all the same stuff. It's dads walking around with the kids and flashlights and stuff, but it's just a different clientele. And I think it's good for them. Yeah. I think it's good for everybody.
Immersed in Canadian culture.
Absolutely.
Despite the language.
It's just weird, like on my street, because, you know, we moved there 20 years ago, and for probably the first 10 years our street was just like a carnival right on Halloween. And then last night, it's just, or the last few years, it's just turned dead. It's sad because all the kids have moved away, but the parents have kept their homes.
Oh yeah. People growing up. I mean, we had a resurgence in Woodbridge because when we moved in that year, we did have a lot of trick-or-treaters. Then it was my generation, so we all grew up. And then there was nothing for 4 years. And I heard yesterday that we ran out of candy. It's because there's the next generation of kids coming in. It's ironic, actually.
Never be caught without enough candy.
I just think
I used to like having too much candy, and then at the end, you know, as it petered out, you could really load the kids down, and they love that.
It's funny because there was a discussion. There were bags of candy at my ex's house last night, but somewhere in the first half hour to 45 minutes is the same discussion as always, which is, do we have enough candy? Do we have enough? Okay, I only give out one crappy rancher and an M&M. Like, there wasn't even enough to I took some. I took a Twix home. Like, I was trying to get, because, and there was.
Can you get baby Twix?
Yeah, they were tiny baby Twix.
Oh, I didn't know. I've
Barker.
Never
seen Barker.
They're in the nut. They're in the nut with nuts.
Never seen a baby Twix.
And at one point, I went to the door and I was negotiating with I don't know, some hybrid ghoul or something. I said, how's it going? Pretty good. I had a handful of candy, so I had their attention. I said, you got any Krispy Kreme? He goes, what? I go, can we barter a little Krispy Kreme? Because what we have here is basically shite. I'll give you, I said, let me look in your bag. I'll give you two Twix and a crappy rancher lollipop if you give me a Krispy Kreme. Kid just looked at me.
Can of vegetable soup?
Yeah. I said, do you want some Triscuits and tomato paste? I'll give you all the Triscuits and tomato paste I have in the house.
The kid's thinking, oh, geez, we had to pick the Jewish house.
And all of a sudden, I went over there and I went to trick-or-treat. This guy comes to the door. He goes, let me barter with you. Let me barter with you.
Good
baby
pair
ghoul.
Of socks.
Hey.
That's right. How would you like
a note of that house.
Would you like, I've got a pair of socks and a baby Twix. Let me see how big your Krispy Kreme is. I love Krispy Kreme. And I got none. This Halloween has gone by, and I've not yet indulged in the magic that is the Krispy Kreme.
You know, the Coffee Crisp.
Makes a nice light snack.
You know, that's not available in the United States.
No.
No?
That whole box that has Kit Kat, Coffee Crisp, Arrow, and Smarties, the only thing that's American in there is Kit Kat.
Yeah.
You can't get Smarties in the States?
No, Smarties are different in the States. They're that chalky one.
What are they called? Goobers?
M&M's.
Oh.
No, they don't actually have M&M's. Sort of.
Different than
chocolate. They're similar to Smarties, but the chocolate ones.
There's some movie snacks I remember from living in the States. And when you go to the movies, when you go to Lowe's Cinema.
Yes.
when you go to the moving pictures, they have Goobers. They have something else
that we don't
have up here.
Like in Canada, you're used to it the other way around. Them having stuff that we can't get. But there's a whole line of chocolate bars that Americans love when they come up here. Mm-hmm. And I think Coffee Crisp may be at the top of the list.
You know, Absolutely. It's funny. It's interesting because the question would be, why don't you just go to the store and buy a Crispy Crunch? Interesting question, Idris. But I was just going to bring that up. I wouldn't think to go to the gas station on the way home and buy a Crispy Crunch. But at Halloween, I sort of look for it. It's like it's one of my favorite it's that sponge toffee and chocolate. But the other days of the year, I could easily. You know, I can still have, you know, I've still got Crispy Crunch money. I've given a lot of money away, but I still have Crispy Crunch money. But it would never occur to me. Would it occur to you to go and buy a bag of candy?
No, but if I'm in one of those gas station places or something and I look and see the chocolate bars, I'm very tempted. But somehow over the past few years, I've learned to resist. Like I could so get like a Twix and eat it as I'm driving away from the gas bar. I just don't.
But you know, the point is, if I'm craving chocolate, I'll get that stuff that you get, that sort of higher end dark chocolate almond thing. It's called who's
I
that
get
brand?
Or
like the Ritter?
The Lind.
No, it's almost like it doesn't matter.
What's that?
No, but
the thin one. It's like sea salt and dark chocolate, something and then
like
they
that.
Have
it's
a whole rack of them.
Yeah. It's not. It's another company, Brookfield.
Brookfield.
They're sort of higher end. Yeah,
that's higher end.
I think so.
Brookfield they do the it's like the juice condensed, like it's a berry, but it's not a berry. It's just
juice. But they have all kinds of different chocolate covered confectionery.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
My point is, yes, I'll grab one of those, but I just wouldn't. I love Crispy Crunch, but the only time I really think about it. Is during Halloween. Yeah, you see it?
Brookside do dark chocolate-covered blueberries. Have you ever had them?
Yes.
Oh, delicious. Oh.
So, but you know, my point is, you would grab something like that. Yeah. I wouldn't go and go Costco. A random...
What? Get those at Costco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Costco. Get them fucking everywhere.
I'm just saying, I see them at Costco.
Do you not get them?
They have the big bags.
So do you.
The double-sized bags.
It's a shish. Beer guy.
So does Fred. Fred has a big bag.
How are you, sir? Great to see you.
Fred's got a giant bag.
But for some reason, last night, everyone starts talking about the Crispy Crunch in my family because that's kind of a family thing. We all love that. And it used to be when my daughters were young, you know. Very early on, young parents get hip to the idea that you're going to go through your kids' candies, you know, I guess to make sure there's no razor blades or... Triscuits and tomato paste. But what I understood early on, too, was I was just find the candy I liked. I'd find the Crispy Crunch. And then again, became a bit of a running thing with the girls. They would come home and say, Daddy, we got you a Crispy Crunch.
Aww.
Last night, nothing. No Crispy Crunch.
Oh.
I know.
It's like they go on a mission for you.
or what you would do with the kids and say, they'd bring all that candy and you can only have, you know, a couple a day or, you know, a couple when you get home from school. And then you would set that limit. And then meanwhile, I'd be in there like doubling and tripling the limit off their candy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is about those little chocolate bars, psychologically, you think, oh, it's not bad. It's only that size. But 10 is more than a regular chocolate bar, which you probably wouldn't normally have when you're showing some kind of restraint.
No, I hear you. I'm trying to find this. There's a listener that has been supporting us for a long time. His name is Brad Cholette or Cholette.
Mm-hmm.
Cholette.
Or Brad Cholette. Hello, and he asked about some transition music. He wanted to know what this was. We played it yesterday. It's the Veils, Jesus for the Juggler is the name of this tune. As we go to break... thanks very much for listening around North America live like we are each and every day. Hard to believe from the storefront studios, the Squatty Potty performance area, and the 5-hour energy green room. Have I forgotten anyone? Soon to be the Brick Brewery radio table. That's right, son. Now you're in the spider's web. And around the planet at humbleandfredradio.com. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, this is Matt O'Brien for Canada Laughs. Is this real? You're listening. Keep listening.
Kyle, I'm assuming you were trying to get a hold of me, were you? Yeah, everything's fine. All right. I'm talking to the guy from the brewery. I can't pay attention to the radio show.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Humble and Fred Radio. We'll be talking beer here in a second. And not just beer, but a beer company and a Canadian success story. Much like our friends, our good friends, Freddie, at Sleep Country Canada. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I am.
Sleep Country Canada. One higher mattress anywhere else.
And yeah, at Sleep Country right now is the Simmons Beauty Rest Sale. Head-to-toe support that conforms to your body. That's all I'm going to tell you right now, because if you're interested in the Simmons Beauty Rest and its sale, you might want to go to a Sleep Country Canada location and talk to a sleep expert. Really, this is a big investment. You spend, what, one-third of your life in a bed. So take the time, go to Sleep Country, talk to a sleep expert, and they will put you on the mattress in the bed that is perfect for you. It's so important. Don't take this for granted, people. Sleep Country Canada, sleepcountry.ca is where you'll find their e-flyer, all the latest offerings. Sleep Country Canada, why buy a mattress anywhere else?
It's no wonder people call a pizza.
You know, lots of great things happening. Pizza, including slices for smiles. It's underway and continuing until November 20th to help support Slices for Smiles and the Children's Miracle Network. All you do is donate like a $2, like a toonie, every time that you buy delicious pizza. And you support this fundraiser, this fine initiative. They'll be selling 10-inch cheesy pepperoni half-smile pizzas for a toonie. That's how you do it. And they're cute as hell. They look like a big grin, and that's the idea. It's a Slices for Smile, $2 for the little cheesy pepperoni half-smile pizza, Freddy.
They're so cute, you don't even want to eat them sometimes.
No, you just take it home.
You just want to keep them as friends.
Make it a pet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second. What's that, Barky?
Their United Way campaign will be launching probably this week in TTC locations as well. Pat Finelli will be on Friday to talk about all that.
It makes a huge difference. Yeah. You're a very nice person. Please welcome to our program the marketing director for this Canadian success story. It's Ontario's largest Canadian-owned brewery, and we're going to find out all about your favorite beer from Brick Brewery. Say hello to Sean Dennis, everybody.
Woo! Woo!
Wow. Welcome, Sean.
Wow.
I say to you, sir, welcome to this program.
Thank you for having me very much.
Well, it's probably a huge thrill for you. I know. You know, it sounds so when I say that to people, you know, I hope you know I'm kidding. You know, we just like to just say hi to people. Thanks for coming in here this morning, Sean. You said something, Fred. You know, a lot of people wouldn't think of Brick as that, having that status. But talk to us a little bit about it. And is that meaningful to you to be Ontario's largest Canadian-owned brewery?
You know, it is. I mean, I've been with the company for, I'm going into about 11 years. No. I started in this business, like 30 years ago. Previous life was with a very big brewer, one of the two that we all know.
Mm-hmm. And, now foreign-owned.
Correct.
Those beers that shall not be named.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
beer Voldemort.
All of them foreign-owned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've remained Canadian it's a huge thing for us, and it resonates with people, right? You talk to them about it and they're just like, yeah, I mean, you guys are Canadian. We support you guys. So, and we've been around since 1984. We were Ontario's first craft brewer and, have stayed true to our roots. started in a little brewery in Waterloo, Ontario. We've since departed from that space, and we're still in Kitchener, but we're over on a very big piece of property with a bigger facility because we're producing a lot more beer. So we just invested a ton of money into that brewery as well. So,
well, what's impressive about a brewery like Brick is people got to realize when you first start up, it's war, right, to get market share, to get positioning in like beer stores, and even to get into beer stores. Like, yeah. I mean, like it's really tough. So the survivors are, well, it just speaks to the quality of the product.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, you know, Ontario is a very interesting place to try to sell alcoholic beverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet.
Especially in light of everything that's happening now. We're seeing a grocery and what our good friend Kathleen is doing. And you know, you go through all of that stuff, and all of it's very good. It's good for all the brewers. It's great. But when, as you said, when we started, it wasn't easy. You know, you were clawing your way through everything to try to get your product in front of the big boys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this brewery, again, since 84, and I think we've done a pretty good job of it, you know.
When you started in 84, being a craft beer would have been a pretty foreign, no pun intended, concept.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up in Canada, you know, we're a little bit older than you, but, you know, there were sort of two television networks, there were CTV and CBC, and there were two beers.
Yep.
You know, Fred mentioned a beer here in Ontario that I wasn't familiar with, because being in Western Canada, there were some maybe local regional beers, but just generally there was a couple of big brands. So in 84, it must have been pretty tough for an independent to come along and try and make any waves, especially against those big brands that have such huge market shares.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit about that struggle, but then also, so now all these years later, what kind of inroads independent brewers like yourself have made?
So yeah, so when the doors opened up in 84, it was the founder at the time who just simply said he wanted to start himself a little brewery. He was in the advertising business prior to that, and he said, you know, I'm tired of doing that, and I want to march to my own drum. And he opened up this little brewery in Waterloo, and he started with brands that are still around today, like Red Baron. A lot of people are familiar with the Red Baron brand. And
it's funny you say that, in the mid-80s, because when I was redoing my first rec room, I latched onto Red Baron. And I remember, I still have pictures of Red Baron bottles all over the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it's still, we still make it, and it's still a great brand, and we, you know, we support it. And but through the years, it's eventually turned into, how do you continue to try to bring something to the forefront? And as you've said, there's two big boys, and they've got two brands, and they're dominating the industry. But a lot of people embraced this little brewery. As Ontario's first craft brewery, so it turned out quite well in the end.
That's right, and it's got to be a good product, or it doesn't survive. And that was the one thing about, I remember when Brick first started, it was like, the reason people gravitated to it is because of more body, more flavor, more taste than the regular beers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but and it's interesting, because the struggle of sort of independent brewery or microbreweries over the last 30 years, and now, you know, there's a whole generation of kids, millennials and maybe a little bit older, who only drink those beers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That look at those traditional brands that we all grew up with as almost sort of not even in their conversation. They're the ones buying Landshark and Laker beer and all that, all the different brands you have, because to them, the big brands, this almost seem like antiquated. And isn't it interesting that now, if you, and I wanted you to ask, if you could talk about the market share, because it used to be those guys had 99%,
right,
and then something like Waterloo Brewery would have nothing.
Right.
And now what does, not what you guys represent, but what does independent breweries represent?
Yeah, so combined, if you think about, the big boys still own the lion's share. I'm trying to, as you sit here and ask the question, I'm trying to make sure I get to some more fact-based
sort of.
Well,
even if it's a, you don't have to give me the, you know, but the general, it's certainly changed since 84 when you guys opened the doors.
Yeah, so the big boys still own, I mean, they own the massive share of it. And they've got strategies, right? So a lot of those guys have been out buying up small breweries.
That's right.
And they're doing that because they're realizing that this craft beer movement is starting to eat their lunch. And, you know, we were in a great space because we only had primarily two different brands when things started to take off for the company. We only really had, they categorized them. So you got mainstream, you've got value segments, you've got craft segments, and that's how we talk in the industry. But we really only had a craft, a proposition called Red Baron, Waterloo Dark, another big dark brand here. And we
there was something just called Brick Beer too, right? Wasn't
it? Yeah. You know, there were brick brands, but they weren't, you know, it was part of when I came on board. It was part of, you know, how do we start to carve out a space in the industry that people are actually going to be able to follow? And I started by doing that by just sort of going through some of the brands that were just sort of in and out, and we, you know, costing the company more money than they're worth probably producing. And we just we focused on this craft beer segment, and then eventually what came into what actually pioneered value brands was a brand called Laker. So that was Maker Laker. It's a buck of beer.
The buck of beer thing, yeah.
And Laker started it, and the big boys didn't like it. Mm-mm. To be quite honest and quite candid, they just didn't like it.
Did they not like it because they could instantly recognize that, ooh, that could be a bit of a thorn in our side because, as you say, it was sort of the first value brand. And didn't they try and follow suit?
Yeah, they did. So there's, you know, they're big boys, as I keep referring to them as. I mean, they got a ton of overhead.
Yeah.
They're a big brewery. There's a reason why they, you know, we still are what we call in our Laker brand the best beer deal, period. You can still go in and buy a box of Laker for $31. And or go to one of the big boxes and spend upwards of $40. So you say, do I still want to save myself $8, $9, $10 a box of beer? For beer that is as equal to or better, because we've got all the awards, all of the credentials that stand behind these things that they can prop themselves onto and say, you know, we are as good as or better than those guys. And, well, by the way, we're saving you some dough. So we carved out those two sort of channels in the beer category. And we were in a good space because that's where all the competition was happening. Everybody was, you know, trying to claw through this craft beer side, but nobody could really come to the table with what was a really true craft brand. And then the value side, and the big boys started sort of lowering their prices on some of their bigger brands in order to compete.
And you target really the 19 to 34-year-old. They're the ones you can win over to a new brand, right?
I target anybody who likes a cold beer.
Right. No, but it's the older people are sort of set in their ways. The younger the younger consumer is more inclined to switch beers, right?
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing now. There's, you know, again, I'm going to go back to sort of mid, sort of 2006. Let's go there. There was all of about 30 craft brewers in Ontario, and that was it. And those were real craft breweries. I mean, they had bricks and mortar. They were real craft breweries. I think the last number I saw was somewhere around 160 now in Ontario.
Wow.
And that's everything from, you know, brew pubs to actual breweries, because that's how people have started to categorize themselves as craft brewers.
We've got the marketing director for Brick Brewery here, Sean Dennis. That's Sean. Dennis right there, wearing a nice Waterloo Brewery jacket.
It's a nice jacket.
Some very nice stuff. Trying to figure out how you get one of those. That's cool. You're listening to the Humble and Fred Show. We're the craft beer of radio. We're with the big
true man,
boys.
True.
You know, Fred said something that I don't totally agree with. I think that the younger beer drinkers, the millennials and such, it's almost like, yeah, they're ripe because they're only going to look for this type of beer. But I've noticed a lot, you know, I noticed a lot of the guys my age, 55 and up, that are my golf buddies, and, you know, they'll order around, and whereas 30 years ago, it would just be all the old school beers. But it's not anymore.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are also ripe for marketing because they're already not choosing the standard, you know, those guys. Can we say who they are? I think we all know who they are. You know what I mean? And so either they're already drinking your product or would drink your product if they heard about it. They're not. My point is they have been marketed to. They're already a craft brewery drinker.
Right, right.
I guess the question is, how do you get to those guys? How do you let them know it's time to change?
Well, it's getting taps in those places too, right?
Yeah, there's certainly the restaurant sort of pub, or what we call sort of the on-trade side of our business. But I mean, listen, that everybody's on to staycations now and spending more time in their backyards.
Sure.
And, you know, can't afford to go out and mm-hmm. haven't got as much disposable sort of income kicking around to go out and buy dinner and have a craft beer. So, and again, look at a lot of those restaurants, a lot of those guys. I mean, there's still a lot of the big brands. You go in there and it's kind of tough to find a good craft brand still. You'll go in there and there's still sort of the staple of, you know, what do you got on tap today? And you hear the same brands over and over and over again. But it's changing. I mean,
but isn't it funny? Well, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I'm like that too. When I go into a place, I mean, when I go into a beer store, it's usually the standard thing. But when I'm in a restaurant or some kind of establishment, I'll look at the taps, and for that reason, go. Yeah. Oh, that's
and I also
different.
Think you're like a lot of guys. Like if somebody says, "Hey, you should try this," we will. But it, you need somebody to kind of sponsor you into that relationship,
right?
Because you're right, you know, you look around, there's the the funny thing about a lot of guys too is they think they're drinking a sort of, you know, craft beer, but they're just drinking a major brand that bought a small right. brewery yep. or a major brand that makes that sort of boutique looking beer yep. but you know, it's just it's yep. not a, it's not like you guys
right. and what happens in a restaurant is a lot different than what happens in a beer store, because again, that's when people get in a restaurant. As opposed to a beer store, that's when you get a little more adventurous when you're out.
Sure.
Yeah. Usually when you're buying that. And through straight availability. Because, again, when you go into a lot of these beer stores now and you see in a self-serve, again, you're crowded out by all the usual crap, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... And when you get to retail now, it's become a lot more of a shopper's paradise for craft beer, right? Mm-hmm. Go into your local LCBO,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter where you are, for that matter. Go into any liquor store across Canada, for that matter, and they've got a great sort
become
of
a more prominent, yeah,
great shelf selection of craft beer. That I mean, listen, we support our craft guys all day long. We think mm-hmm. they're great. We support the big guys. I mean, we think that look, we love good, healthy competition too. So,
well, one of the brands that a lot of people are talking about, and I see. I see it over there. Is Landshark.
Phil, don't touch it. You'll get drunk.
Phil's very... Dennis, Phil's a lightweight now.
Is it too early?
Sean,
is
I
it
mean.
Too early?
Sean Dennis. Like, you know, the thing is, I'm so hip, I call people by their last name. Hey, D, what's up?
Okay, I'm used to it.
I'm Brooks. Brooks.
Brooks? Are
yes.
you Brooks?
No, I am.
Your name is Brooks?
I never told you. I never corrected you.
It's Barks, right?
All right.
Anyway, listen, what's going... Bring the Landshark over here, yep. Phil. Yep. Stop drinking it. Phil. Now, is this a... Now, Fred,
I've been drinking this.
You've been drinking this for a while.
Whenever I go to Florida,
right,
I get Landshark. And it's a beer even... Would you recommend twisting a lime in there? I do it when I'm down there.
Well, we've got a saying. We generally know. We, here in Canada, right. we drink an NFL.
Oh, no,
yeah,
we
get it. Yeah, you get it.
So I apologize. So when I drink them in Canada, I will not use a lime.
NFL.
NFL.
I love that, man. You know, you can say that actually on this show. And that's the beauty of being on the Humble and Fred show. All these other stations have to go, NFL, cute, wink, wink. We go, yeah.
But yeah. When you're in Florida, you're hot, you're on a golf course, whatever, I love these because they were just crisp and refreshing.
Yeah. Yep.
Now... Would these Canadian version be any different than the American, or is it basically the same formula, same brewing?
Same alcohol content, same, or no?
All of the latter. So, all of the same, basically. Yeah. So you know, we brew it here, we brew it to the recipe, and without sounding completely sort of pompous, we think it's better than the way it's produced stateside. Well, I'm not,
that's often the case with these American adopted beers, right?
Yeah, and you know, we started with this brand. We started the conversations with these guys back in I'm going to say March of last year, and we simply picked up the phone and said, "How about bringing Landshark to Canada?"
Really?
That was almost as easy as that.
Wow.
Does Jimmy Buffett have anything to do with them anymore?
Yep, very
really?
Much. Jimmy,
did you get to meet him?
Yeah, did you have to speak to Jimmy?
It's still Margaritaville's brand.
Right.
We brew it under license. We brew it, market it, package it, sell it.
Did everything. You say to him, did you get on the phone and go, "Hey, Jimmy, great to talk to you. I'm nibbling on sponge cake." And that's what I would do.
Well,
that's why I'm not in the beer business. Because he'd go, "Shut up. And let's be grown-ups."
No, we started with... I did not have that conversation with Jimmy.
That'd
just
be
for
cool
clarity.
If you
I
did.
I wouldn't want to add that. No, we again, it was as easy as that, really. And these guys came up. That we started conversations. They showed us the Margaritaville property. We've got a Margaritaville classic margarita at the beer store as
yes,
well.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
So it's and soon to be coming into the LCBO will be a another Margaritaville.
Sean Dennis wants you to go and wherever beer is sold, whenever you're ready to drink a beer, make it a Brick Brewery beer, whether it's Land Shark or any of the other fine Original Dark, Waterloo Original Dark. And so how do you market? And how does, like, Freddie knew about Landshark because of a Florida trip or two, but how do you get this into the mind of the average consumer?
Mm. Good question, because was this available in the northeastern United States?
This was available, like, throughout the United States.
Oh, okay.
It's in pockets. It's sort of all over the place.
That's right, because really the only place I ever saw it was in Florida, so I sort of assumed it was like a southern beer, but not the case.
I'll be honest, I knew about the brand. Mm-hmm. When we started the conversations, we weren't sure if it was going to do the square root of nothing here mm-hmm. in Canada, and it literally turned this past summer the entire industry yeah. turned it on its head.
Wow. Come on.
Unbelievable.
No, you know why? Because it's a great beer, and even the packaging, look, come on.
But I was going to say, Freddie, and maybe you guys can both answer this, did it do so well because of a lot of guys like the Fred Man who had tasted it, heard of it? There's a lot of Ontarians spend a lot of their yeah. winters down south, so I guess there might have been a familiarity with it, but what was it? Just the packaging's cool? People had... They yeah, just dug it?
It was all of that. I mean, it wasn't tough to, again, not tough to sell. I'm not going to be the guy that's going to say, you know, as the marketing guy, oh, look, we launched a brand and...
aren't I super?
Yeah, aren't I great?
I'm a genius.
you're going to meet my wife. No, parrot heads are loyal.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
If you're a parrot head, you know the brand. You're loyal to your brands. And they spread the word. There are... pockets of these groups all over Ontario, yep. and they support us 100%. So not a tough sell at all.
Well, listen, so, man, what a great story.
And yeah. we'll be up to about a little over 250,000 cases sold.
Come
wow,
on.
That's crazy. Amazing.
That's a lot of beer.
Do yeah. you, on Halloween, do you give out beers?
yes.
It's funny.
Yes.
it's funny because Jimmy Buffett's fans yes. are called parrot heads. Ours yeah. are called dickheads.
yeah.
That's not true. They're called hundy peas. Yes, they are.
That's true.
Anybody that's, we have all these fans that identify themselves as 100%ers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the 100%ers will be excited to go and get some Land Shark.
Mm-hmm.
And all these beers. Now, I noticed you guys have like a cold beer store at the brewery.
Yep. Yep.
Are people just stop and like it's a legitimate place to, not legitimate, like you can buy beer at breweries under some kind of, was that available before beer was available in stores? Of course it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like no, you're absolutely. Licensed to sell it there on the premises.
Yeah. So in this fantastic province, the Alcohol Gaming Commission of Ontario
mm-hmm.
allows you, as long as you have an operating brewery,
right,
you can sell your beer at
nice.
The brewery.
Has the idea, you mentioned it earlier in your opening remarks about the idea of buying beer at grocery stores, which is pretty new for us. Mm-hmm. I know, America, you're listening going, what?
Yeah.
I know. It's funny, but it's the way we do things here in Ontario. Has that impacted you at all?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not, it's new. It's
bad,
it's,
good?
It's good. No, it's always good. Look, you got another channel to put your product into and and drive trial and drive volume, which is, you know.
Well, trial's the key word, eh? Because you can only buy a six-pack, isn't that?
That's right.
Yeah, only six packs. Mm-hmm. And did you know that? At grocery stores, you can only buy six packs.
Yeah.
Can't buy a dozen.
Six pack yeah. per person or per order?
No, for the SKU available to the consumer, yeah. You can go in.
Oh,
and
I see. You can buy 50. You can buy 50 six. Yeah. Oh, I see.
But why would you do that?
I don't know anything.
Because it's way more expensive.
I don't know
way.
Why you would do that.
It's the same. It's exact same as the LCBO. You can only get six packs of the LCBO.
Yeah. yeah. Of right.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird little.
Well, that's a major issue, right? Because the breweries own the beer store. Is it all the breweries or just the big breweries?
Well, you know, the breweries do own. I mean, everybody. How do I word this up in a very short way? They have a they've opened it up to a bunch of breweries to be able to come in and sit on the board.
Including a brewery.
Yep,
like
including
Brick.
A brewery like ours. And in the old days, it used to just be the two big boys. And then
squeeze everybody.
And then the third one came in. And then there was just, you know, there's a huge controversy over that channel in general. Mm-hmm. Just how it was being marketed and mm-hmm. what was happening. But a lot of things have changed. I'll give the channel that much. They've done a great job on allowing more people in.
Being fair.
They've got an open door policy, really. Mm-hmm. Those guys have got, everybody's, they've got a saying, everybody's welcome. You have to buy your listings. That's just how the system works.
Like most retail.
Whether it's
grocery or beer, exactly. You got to buy the listings at some point.
And the LCBO is different. The LCBO says not everybody's necessarily welcome, but you know, if you've got a great marketing plan, we'll take your product, we'll put it on the shelf, and we'll give it a shot.
See what happens. Right on.
Well, listen, Sean, what a pleasure meeting you. You know, we're not going to lie. It's funny because as the evolution of our business has gone, you know, like we were, it's almost like the opposite. We were the big corporate guys. We worked for the biggest companies in Canada. Yeah. And then 5 years ago, we became a craft brewery. And we took our experience, kind of like you. We were sort of worked for all these big companies. We took our experience. And even though we work for this huge company, SiriusXM, the way we work our business now is like a boutique brewery. And, you know, we like to associate ourselves with people of excellence. And it was great having you on our program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we will take your beer and we will have our way with it, my friend.
The jackets are in the mail.
Maybe you could just leave that one. That'd be cool. Pardon me?
I said it's cold.
Yeah, and he wears a nice jacket. He's a big fella. Sean, thanks for coming. We hope you enjoyed it. Do you have any questions for us?
No.
I'm pretty much, I have all the information I need.
They've all been answered.
That's right. We're going to take your beer and your jacket.
Yes.
And we're going to make it our own.
I'm going out in a t-shirt. Thanks for that.
Do we have a t-shirt for Mr.? Can we get?
No, I meant I was going out in my t-shirt.
No, we're
going
to give you a shirt.
We're going to give you a t-shirt.
You get a shirt.
You know, and you get a shirt. But it's an apt analogy, is it not, that we used to be these guys. We used to work for big corporate companies, and then we just did it ourselves.
No, I think it's a fair trade. I give you $100 in beer, and I get a $10 t-shirt. I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we keep... Hey, mister, our margins are different than yours.
Right.
We have very small margins. There's no
that's
price.
That's not a euphemism.
No, that was a good description.
That is.
We're, like, this show is like the Brick Beer, and SiriusXM is like the beer store.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have a channel, which is their channel, 168.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He listens. He's a serious listener.
But everyone... Well, and the funny thing is, you know, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday, Amanda and I, who do a lot of the marketing and sales. We were talking to a potential client,
right.
And they were in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And they're also former Torontonians, big Humble and Fred fans. And we had the conversation about the fact that even though we have nationwide distribution, we're a small brewery because we're very nimble that way. If you know, when you work for a big company, whether it's, you know, can we, you know, the you people know the breweries we're talking about, you know, when you work for a big company like that, they're it's very labor intensive to get anything. They're not as nimble. And same with us, you know, I with this conversation mm-hmm. we had with these people yesterday, I said, if this was the olden days and you wanted to get an interview about your product on our show, you'd have to talk to the salesman.
Yep.
He'd talk to the general manager, sales manager, program director. You'd never get to us.
Yep.
I said, not that we're so special, but no one would. There were so many layers between them and us. Whereas with us now, you know, Amanda and I and Fred, we all, it's our business. And so I'm on that call yesterday and I said to this person, I said, not only would we, because it's a food related business, but I said, imagine this, on a Friday, if you had an idea for a special recipe you wanted us to talk about Monday using your product, there's no five layers to send me an email.
Yeah. Right.
And in that way, even though we have national distribution and lots of people buying into us, it's all done by six or seven people. As though we were sort of cranking it out in a small brewery somewhere.
It's not that different. You think about, I think the numbers, if I remember correctly, back in 84, the brewery started, it was something like 15 people. And in its first year did something like, it was astronomical, something like 30,000 cases or something like that. For this little craft brewery mm-hmm. out of Waterloo. I mean, just because the entire community embraced this little tiny brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. It's different.
I mean, we're, our story changed. Is similar, except the part about embracing it. But other than that, it's exactly the same. We're still waiting to be embraced.
Well, I would say that it's become that much more competitive now. I mean, we're out talking about fourth largest brewery in Ontario, fifth largest brewery in Canada.
Wow.
Don't know. Thank That's you.
Amazing. Yes, we'll give you. Good we'll give you. You some applause,
Thank you
even
for
though
that.
You weren't asking for it.
No, I wasn't. Have, just, thank you for that.
Good job.
And, you know, that you come on the show, it's whether you drink beer or not, it's just a great story as well.
Exactly.
Well, I'm happy to tell the story because it is a truly, and it's true, and it's real. That's what's great.
The story is authentic. Real. It's real. Yeah. And, you know, you're actually helping us out because we're at that stage of operation where, you know, we've got a bunch of people on our payroll, but some of them are getting paid in beer today.
Well,
thank you for that,
yes.
my friend.
Fantastic.
All right. Listen, Sean, good seeing you. Thank you very much. Guys, get Sean something. Let's get Sean. You know what Sean should have? Sean should have a squatty potty.
Yeah, he should.
This program brought to you by the people in Utah at Squatty Potty want Canada to know there's a different way to go. The puborectalis muscle, Fred, is the part that gets kinked, and the squatty potty unkinks your colon.
Ah, happy colon, happy life, Howard. I mean, that just about says it all, doesn't it? Some things just make sense. Healthy toilet posture leads to proper elimination. Easier elimination makes for a healthier body. It's that simple. It's basic human anatomy. Squatty potty posture, well, it unkinks your colon.
Yeah.
And that's really the technology behind the squatty potty.
We gave him one. Can we get a picture?
Mm-hmm.
Sean's got a squat. Now, seriously, Sean, you make that. You will never forget this day when you learned what it was really like to let her go, Sean.
Yeah. Listen, you can order online, squattypotty.com. Poop better. Order now. Squatty potty. This is Sean is now having his picture taken with the squatty potty, and he's going to get back to us and not only thank us for. Well, we thank you for introducing us to your product. We introduce you to our product, sir. Enjoy it. Thanks, Sean. Phil,
hello.
Now, will you enjoy any of this Landshark lager?
I think it's a great story, absolutely.
Do you ever drink beer at all, Phil?
Not very often, but I have celebratory beers.
Okay, well, this is crisp and refreshing. You're going to enjoy that with some of your folk. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, that was cool. And, you know, it's funny. It's such a great story. And it's similar. Not that I was being facetious. It's actually true. No, I mean, in a way, like this gentleman worked for big beer companies. We worked for big radio companies. And there's something attractive about being in a situation where we don't have to go through a whole bunch of layers to make things happen. And I said, you know, one of the things in this meeting yesterday with these people out west, and I meant it. I said, you know, Fred does accounting. I do sales. I said, we have this group of people. And I said, you know, part of what's attractive about our product is we can give you a national platform with a very local radio feel.
So that's it. You nailed her. You nailed her.
For instance, the Mitsubishi Motor Company has taken us, you know, under their wing, or we've taken the, I don't, well, they're our sponsor. Wing.
They're the wind beneath our wing. Hey, they're helping us take flight.
They are the wind beneath our wings. No charge. Winter tire package is up to $1,400 extra value. If you're driving an Outlander, an RVR, a Lancer, any number of cars that Mitsubishi, the Mirage, you know already about the 10-year warranty. Get to know it, people. 160,000-kilometer powertrain limited warranty. And get to know the whole Mitsubishi lineup.
And they've got some really cool models.
Yeah,
they
do.
The River, for example, the RVR.
Well, I mentioned the 2017 RVR is already out. The Outlander's out. And later this week or early next week, we're going to talk to somebody from Mitsubishi. A tire expert is coming in here because, you know, like the seasons of Canada after Labor Day, all bets are off. You know, out west in Calgary, sometime after Labor Day, it snowed. Here in Ontario, you know, November is traditionally one of the dreariest months in terms of
the transition.
The transition. You know, a lot of people don't know, when do you put your tires on? What, you know, what, how does that work? We're getting a tire expert in here to talk to you about not only their tire package, but tire health in general. If you want to build a car, you can, as Freddie says, anywhere across Canada, go to Mitsubishi.ca. In the Toronto area, it's GTAMitsubishi.ca. Okay.
Those, you know, it's funny. It's just when you get around the 1st of November, just put them on. Because it comes this little game. Listen, we've had November slush.
No, I know.
We've had November sleet. So get them on.
My worst accident was two Novembers ago when my brother Steven was visiting. And I picked him up at the airport at 3 in the afternoon, middle of the week. And it took me 3 or 4 hours to get back to Oakville, and that included getting into a car accident, because what happened was in the afternoon it changed.
Yes.
And we had slippery slush. We had a flash freeze, and the entire Ontario, Toronto area, I should say, was came to a standstill, because nobody had their snow tires on. Anyway... it's cool to have. It was cool having the beer guy in. And that's a really, you know, I've never seen that logo before. It's really cool. Like you will enjoy that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm anxious.
Are you nervous or just anxious?
No. I'm anxious to try it because again, it's brewed here just to see what the little differences are in the flavor.
Yeah.
Because I really, you know, I'm one of these guys that I don't piss all over American beer. When I'm down in the States and I'm hot, I like their thin, refreshing,
Yeah, it's got a different mouthfeel. It's got a different throat feel. It's almost crispy. It's like I got a crispiness.
You know, it's thinner. It's not as strong. But I'm cool with that when I'm in the States. It'll be interesting to see the version of this in Canada, how it tastes.
But, you know, a lot of people also like that sort of dark feel, that Waterloo original dark feel. That still has refreshment to it, but it's got sort of body and a flavor to it. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
I don't think the button's down. I don't hear any.
Oh, no, it's down.
Hello.
They hung up.
Oh, they hung up. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Right. Oh, okay.
I can tell.
He must have been ringing for a while.
Speaking of Americans, I had a long talk on Sunday with my brother David's buddy, Dave Jukes. Okay, here we go. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Greetings and salutations.
Who's this?
It's Paul.
It's Paul.
Yeah. Right.
Paul from where?
From North Carolina. I'm from Etobicoke, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we talked to Paul before. What's going on, Paul?
Just cruising along. I was listening to you talking about the beers and chocolate candy and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, you might like to try Blue Moon when you come down here.
I've tried it. I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. Now, that's good a summer. Beer, that's sort of a white citrusy beer. I love it. Absolutely, I do. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's great beer, man. And I'm a chocolate slut.
You're a what, Paul?
Chocolate slut.
Chocolate slut.
Chocolate slut.
And how does that manifest itself? You make love to chocolate? Any kind of chocolate can get in you?
Dark chocolate, preferably.
Yeah, man. Do you do what I do? I like my chocolate cold. If I have some kind of chocolate-covered almonds, I'll put them in the freezer.
I've never done that, actually.
It's going to change your life if you do it.
I bet it would. Have you guys... Are you guys able to get dark Kit Kats up there?
Dark Kit Kats, yes. Dark chocolate Kit Kats, yes.
Oh, man, they're awesome, man. It's like an orgasm for your mouth, buddy.
Okay, Paulie.
Orgasm for your mouth.
Paulie, good man. I'll talk to you later, dude. Thanks for calling us. Oh, there's somebody else. Yeah, what's up? Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Bye. Hello.
Bye.
Go ahead, caller.
They're not talking.
Well, I can tell you they're there. Because
I can tell they're there, too. Hello.
Okay. So I was having this discussion the other day with my brother's friend, Dave, and he's very politically interested, and I found it interesting talking to him. We spent hours talking about all kinds of big ideas, and then we got to the American election. Okay. Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Yeah,
hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. Let's not, you know, it's not going to make any difference to our show if we answer that phone when it rings, unless it's, you know, somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know until we answer.
I know. So that was no good.
Unless we hire a call screener.
So.
That ain't going to happen.
No. Mm-hmm. One of the things that came up, and I wanted to throw this at you yesterday, but I didn't get to it, mm-hmm. is, you know, we've talked a lot about the election in the States, but we haven't talked about it much lately. You know, the Hillary leaked, the latest leaked emails, the Anthony Weiner, you know, pseudonym. He calls himself Carlos Danger. I mean, like, fuck. Trump's campaign people.
How fucked is he?
Oh, he's so fucked up.
The Weiner guy. Like he's sick.
No, for sure he
like
is.
He's mentally ill, that fella.
And there's, I think, did you see that article I sent you yesterday? The whole thing about inside the Trump campaign and...
Yeah, but that's what I said a couple of weeks ago. They know they can't win, so that's what it's all about.
No, but was also, yeah, yes, but part of the article was, you know, and I wrote down this quote because I wanted to run it by you. The whole article is about the frustration of the Trump campaign. And one of the things that was mentioned in this article, he says, perhaps the most surprising thing to ponder, and we said it, I said it, you said it, everybody said it, one of the most surprising things to ponder at this late stage in the election is just how close the race could have been, they're talking about Trump, had he taken nearly any of the advice offered to him by advisors. And as one advisor says, is the thing was doable if we did it the right way. And it just goes to show you what I said yesterday. And I'll get to the reason I was talking about Dave Jukes in a second. But what I said yesterday about he's close enough in the polls because his ideas aren't as batshit crazy as he is. And they're talking a lot about this article I sent you, and I can't remember where I got it from. I think it was the New York Times. But they talked a lot about in the article the idea that his ideas are resonating with Americans, but what's off-putting is he.
Right.
Him and his personality.
But I've heard the other side of that argument. People say the only reason it is close is because he is so out there and America wants that right now. If he was more mainstream, maybe she would have a bigger lead. Who knows?
Well, or the other way, which we said yesterday, which was if he had just shut up for 4 months, then all people would have focused on is her emails, her dirty politics,
right.
her legacy of backroom, lifetime politician, etc.
But a lot of that Trump stuff still, whether he was nuts, you know, crazy during those debates and had not said some of those things, the dirt, the bus stuff, what he said on the bus and that all would have come out anyway
for sure. But the real takeaway for me yesterday in talking to my brother's friend Dave is that sometimes ideas and ideals are overshadowed by the personality of the people that are sending the message. But the thing I wanted to throw at you, and I came up with this talking to Dave, the problem with the American election cycle is that it takes so long. You know, what I think is great about the way we do it in Canada is our parties get together, they have, you know, their convention, they elect their leader, and then they put them up for us to vote on.
And I think we actually have a cap on campaigns.
The whole thing's like six or 8 weeks, right?
6 weeks, yeah. No, but I think there's a hard cap on it.
So go with me on this. So Americans do a year of these fucking primaries where everyone's fighting and it takes so long. And it's too much time for anyone to pay attention to anything except the outrageous stuff.
And they were laughing at us last year for having a short campaign.
And then they go to their convention and that's even a shit show. And they finally have the candidate and then they have a 2.5 month cycle at basically middle of August to November 8th. Mm. It would seem to me that our system's more streamlined a little. Because here's the thing. You know, we generally have our general elections in a short window after summer. Because, you know, we never have elections in summer. No one's paying attention. but it's almost like the parties put up a candidate and then we decide if we like them or not.
Yeah.
And it's almost so weird in the States. We decide who we like, or they decide who they like, as a candidate. They go to the convention, they're confirmed, and then there's more of the sort of same.
Yeah, if you were looking at our system from the American perspective, all our parties have open conventions, which was what the Republicans were trying to push when Trump was nominated in the first place.
Right.
And the other reason why our system is a little more streamlined is because our government is formed based on our representatives rather than just the amount of votes directly towards one of these people. basically.
So what's your point?
Well, no, just I think our system's better. Mm. I think our sister...
Mm-hmm. Sister?
I think our sister's better than your sister.
You know, one of the flaws the Americans have, and it's through this whole gun thing and Second Amendment, they are such traditionalists. I mean, we could talk about this all day long. Mm-hmm. You know what it would take for that to change? Plus, the way it's structured right now, it's what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. You know, that inner circle of Washington, Politico... It's so hard to crack. And this system works to their benefit. If it was, again, open and more streamlined, hey, how are you? People just walking in off the street.
Yeah, that's
fine. Phil, do me a favor. Find out who these people are.
If it was open and more streamlined, it would be more inclusive. And I think that's the resistance.
Well, for sure. And as he said, you know, our system, as I was mentioning... Mm-hmm. You know, that phrase, open conventions, it's what I like about our system. Because what happens is the parties, well, I'm telling you what happens. Our parties mm-hmm. choose their people, and then they put them up for our adjudication. The problem with this American system is it lasts so long. And you know from being in the business, you know, you're in the business, right? You know, there's a reason that Fox News and CNN and CNBC and NMN, all they have is time to fill. Mm-hmm. And so it's too much time to fill with real issues because no one gives a shit.
But you see, and I know we're more streamlined, but you can see, even because of the 24-hour newsreel up here on social media and our all-news networks, which... don't amount to much compared to the Americans. Slowly but surely, we're heading that way as far as turning politics and campaigns into some showbiz. Even up here it started, to some smaller degree.
For sure, but it's a much smaller degree.
Really?
And it lasts so much.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. It's never going to be a 12-month.
It's never going to be that long.
Hi, who's this?
Mm-hmm. It's Paul again, man.
Yeah, Paul, what's going on, son?
Here's a thought for you guys. There's a rumor going around down here that... Hillary Clinton and Trump are in cahoots, because if you look at the past campaign, every time something bad comes out about her, he says or does something worse.
Okay, Paul.
Attention off of her.
Okay. All right, man, we got to go.
Keep that in mind, pal.
Thanks, pal.
Just something to think about, boys.
My buddy Tom just came back from Pinehurst. I think it's in South Carolina. It's a golf. He was at a golf tournament last week, and he's the guy who put up a picture of the Humble and Fred T-shirt on our Facebook mm-hmm. page. I was talking to him last night, and he spent 6 days in the South, kind of a similar area near Charlotte. It's North Carolina, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in Greensboro, similar area last spring, mm-hmm. and Tom said, it's really funny. He said, we talked to all these guys and all these golfers, and literally nobody is supporting Hillary Clinton. He said and he's a smart, sort of moderate, middleist, whatever I am. What am I? I'm the guy in the middle. There's a name for that.
Moderate. Moderate.
Well, and he's like me, you know, sort of fiscally conservative. And he said, Howard, it was crazy. He said, nobody. You can't find anybody supporting the Democrats.
And where is that?
North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah. I don't know, traditionally, regionally, would they be Republican?
I would think so.
They were in the news recently about that washroom law, if you remember.
Right,
you have to be
that's
the,
right.
Right,
the transgender.
So they might have socially conservative views.
And the Bible
sure.
thumping starts there, right?
Oh, for sure. It's a lot of thumping mm-hmm. of the Bible.
If not in the middle, almost.
Yeah. Moderate, I can't remember what I...
Yeah, moderate.
No, it's
moderate.
You know, the whole moderate. Thing, it's just, you know, I'm looking forward to next Tuesday for two reasons, because it's going to be fascinating, that segment... in history, and for this all to be over, because it's just bizarre. Like what made the news the other day? He used the word ghetto, and people were freaking out because he used the word ghetto in the wrong. It's like, you know, I mean,
but again, you know, there's a reason, because the average person can't comprehend the detail of anything of substance.
Well, that's the thing about the whole email. I took some time yesterday to read all about, or the day before,
yeah,
to read about the email scandal and why it is what it is. Well, that takes some work.
Yeah, it does.
It's not nearly as easy grabbing crotches and saying stuff on a bus.
Or Bill Clinton's his mistresses and all that stuff.
It's not nearly as easy to digest.
It's funny you say that.
And then you read about it and you think, yeah, there's something here. I mean, what was she up to?
Right.
Now, and then you decide, do you care or do you not care?
But do you know why it's not resonating? It's just because just that.
Too much work.
Too much work.
Yep.
You know, the average, I even said that to my buddy Dave on Sunday. I said, these emails, I said, that's a huge deal. The only problem is, in order to find out about it, you have to put in more work than grab a pussy.
That's right. Google what's the deal with Hillary's emails, and it's all there for you. And then listen, on face value, if it is what it is, or if it is what they claim it is, that's way more damaging than grabbing a crotch.
Yeah. So the only thing is that's unprecedented is the fact there's something. Listen, I agree with you, but here's where I go another way, which is there's something fishy about it coming out. It's unprecedented in political history that this close to an election, this comes out.
Yeah, but how that's been. The guy from the FBI
Comrie.
Yeah, he's
Comey.
Between a rock and a hard place. Because if he didn't say anything right now,
and then it explodes,
he looks like an asshole.
All right.
So
we got to take a break.
Hey, who's our friends here?
Yeah, we're going to find out during our break. We have some new guests in our studio. That's what happens when you're on the Queensway, the worldwide headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show around the country and around the continent on Sirius XM. We'll be back in a second.
Hi, this is Sugar Sammy, and you're listening to Canada Laughs.
Brother, it's Humble and Fred Radio. A couple minutes from now, I'm going to be talking to Dan Payne from Vancouver, actually Victoria. He's in the movie Star Trek Beyond. I saw that movie. Pretty cool. Dan's an actor here to promote the Blu-ray release of Star Trek Beyond. Is that right? I think it's cool that Dan's doing it, even though he didn't have a huge part in the movie. But he's getting some, maybe this is, he's getting some extra money going around the country. No, Steve's going, no, just doing it because he's a good guy. All right. You know, I'm at the age now where I know I saw this movie. I guarantee you, because I love Star Trek. I don't really remember a whole lot about it, which is, you know, again, I'm nearly 80 years old. You can't expect me to remember everything. I do remember seeing it, though. It's a good one.
That's the one where Star Trek goes beyond.
Yeah. You got it. You know what? Very good.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to think about how old we are, because inside, do you find this? You're a grandfather. You know, you've been married a long time. Whenever you start to add up numbers in your life, you go, wow, I've been in radio for nearly, 35 years.
Crazy.
I have a daughter. She's 33 years old.
Crazy. Right?
You know, I was struck by that last night, seeing my kids, excited to give candy to little kids.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I'd go to the door, I'd go, "Where aren't you a little kid still?" You know, because you think of your kids as kids, but they're
in your heart. They always are. And always will be.
It was not sad, but I, was nostalgic seeing my girls go to the door and the little kids that and it was sort of weird because I'm like, well, you were just that little princess. A blink of an eye ago.
Blink of an eye.
But here's how I decided how old I really am. Because for about 25 or 27 years of my life, I will go to places, and this has happened to you too, and they'll say, "Hey, Humble Howard." I'll say, "Yes." They'll say, "Hey, some version of a like your show," or they don't. But then they'll invariably, a great amount of the time, they say, "Where's Fred?" As though you and I
are attached at the hip.
Travel as a troop.
Mm-hmm.
you know, when I was younger, and old Howard used to go, "I don't fucking know who Fred is." You know,
that, why? Did you have contempt for me or something? Why? Why would you say it that way?
It has nothing to do with that.
All right,
but that and that I don't. It was just when I would be frustrated, like, well, I don't know where Fred is. The fuck am I supposed to know?
That would leave a good impression. Yes,
that was, I said yeah. that was old All right. Howard.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, new Howard.
Right.
The new version of Howard.
Oh, he's in my car.
Often goes. Oh, I don't know. Let's call him. You know, or
please don't.
Let me check my Fred app. Is what I do now. Oh, I know where Fred is. Hang on a second. I have a live camera on him at all times.
Ooh, a GP Fred locator.
Exactly. And so, but I realized the other day that this is how old I am now. The next time somebody says to me, "Hey, where's Fred?" I can actually go like this. Oh, you didn't hear? What? Fred's dead.
Well, that yeah. Why not?
And I thought I could start telling people that Fred's dead because that's how old we are. And then right. I'm going to go because they're going, oh, really? Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Fred just died last year. His heart and his prostate exploded at the same time. And then what I'm going to do is go, oh, you didn't hear? They'll be all set. I go, you know, I'm collecting money for his family. So whatever you can give, and I'll have like a little, like a box.
Nice,
like
trust fund.
A trust. I'll have a thing like the poppy people.
A trust fund for like, his adult children.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'll have like an official box that I'll carry with
me. Right,
I'll
right.
whip out.
You say some of my ashes are on the bottom.
I'll say, this is a great point. I should have come to you, Caper
nice
Boss.
Nice touch.
Caper Boss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, where's Fred? Well, you know, he's dead. I had no idea. Oh, well, you know, he wasn't a young man. One day he sat down. Sure. He sat. He went to for a sit down. And his prostate came out his ear, and they couldn't save him.
Yeah, so true.
So give me $50.
That's a great little scam you got going there.
Goddamn right it is.
You call me the king of the scam.
Yeah, but I'm different. I'm a big picture guy. Listen, let's talk a little bit if we can.
About Tim Niblett?
About the Nibbles.
Tim Niblett, portfolio manager with Raymond James Limited. Hey, Timmy has 20 years of experience in the tax-effective financial planning business. Yes, he does. And Raymond James is a leading independent brokerage firm on both sides of the border. Yes, they are. The retirement Sherpa. Get involved with one of his programs, and he'll turn a little bit of money into a lot of money. He'll give you a financial plan. He'll look after your taxes. He'll tell you, he'll expose you to the right opportunities to make your retirement that much sooner, that much better. The Retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett. Niblett.
That's really funny.
Tim Niblett, the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
You will love that, too. Mm-hmm. Tim Niblett.
He's the Nerbs.
He's the Nerble. He's Nerbly. You know that Celine Dion's husband has passed on. His heart stopped going on.
Yeah, that's René.
René. A lot of people know him as Celine Dion's husband, but he's also an impresario or an impresario. A man that made a difference in people's lives, Fred. And last night he was honored, according to FYI Music News. Her late husband honored the Jean Leloup Grand Winner at last night's Quebec Music Awards. Now, you wouldn't know it. I wouldn't know it if it wasn't for FYI Music News, a journal about Canada's music industry.
Mm. He had a full life of music, and that makes sense.
Christopher Ward's Great Big Much Music reunion party. Hear all about that. That and so much more. Opinions, industry news, and top tracks. Find out what's happening with It's Your Shot. All of this and more at FYI Music News.
Wonderful.
And now please welcome to our program a Canadian actor and a fine gentleman. Yeah, that's the Star Trek and Beyond theme. He is here to talk about the Blu-ray release of Star Trek Beyond. Hello, Dan Payne.
Dan Payne, everybody. The Payne Man.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Daniel, how's it going on, man?
Just chilling in Toronto.
Victoria, right? That's where you're from?
Born in Victoria.
But I was just reading on your bio there that you spent some time in Holland.
I did. Yep. I was a professional athlete for my first career and wound up in Holland playing volleyball.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
Well, it's funny. It says here in his bio, Dan is an athletic man, 6 foot four, 225 pounds. And just the image you have reminds me of just so many locker rooms I was in over the years, Howard.
What's
big,
you?
Handsome, strong men come walking in.
Yeah.
That's Dan.
And what did you do?
Doesn't he just look like an athlete?
What did you do in those locker rooms? Exactly. What were you there for?
I interviewed.
Oh,
I interviewed.
I keep forgetting you used to be a sports guy.
Oh.
He did. He covered sports, my friend.
I used to frequent all the locker rooms. Lots of locker room talk, Dan.
Nice. Oh, locker room talk.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, let me get you right on that microphone, Dan. Go ahead and talk.
Hi.
There you go.
Oh, hi.
It's interesting. I have a friend of mine from South Africa who played professional beach volleyball. And, in fact, was one of the almost made the Olympic team. Now, the reason I mention it is there a difference between beach volleyball skill-wise and in regular volleyball?
Same set of skills, except there's two people covering the same amount of court. And you're jumping off a soft sand versus the indoor. I could barely jump over my big toe in the sand, but indoor off solid ground.
Did you know there was a professional volleyball league in the world? I did not know that.
Oh, I'm not surprised. No,
I didn't know.
Completely
that. No,
but I wouldn't be surprised by such things.
You have to go to Europe to find it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other day I'm watching some women's beach volleyball.
Yeah.
And it was outside. And it was interesting. They made the point because the women, because of the inclement weather, weren't in their skimpy little outfits that attract so many guys to the stands. And they even made the point that a lot of the stands had emptied because...
You couldn't see their bums.
You couldn't see their, high-cut bottoms.
Now, when you were playing professional volleyball, two questions. Were people able to see your bum? And secondly, did you get paid in weed? Because it was Holland. You don't need to answer the first question. It was stupid, really.
Oh, the second question. That was my favorite part.
Okay.
So you
make a living doing volleyball?
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, absolutely. There's three divisions in Europe, in fact. So the great primary Canadian, like the people who represented their country, they played in Division One. Those of us who couldn't quite make it to the representing your country status, but were great university players and whatnot, we wound up in Division Two. And the leftovers, we'll call them.
Well, what kind of where you played? What kind of venues? Like what size? What were the crowds that would come out and watch a professional volleyball game?
We could get up to 5,000 people to watch a league game. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
So you didn't make a ton of money at it, but hey, it was lots of fun. And
to make a living playing a sport you love is pretty ideal. I mean, I didn't need to make a ton of money to do what I was loved doing.
And then you became...
In fact, that's priceless, actually.
And then you become like this dude. You decide that you want to be an actor, and you've done very, very nicely.
Thank you.
According to this stuff I'm looking at... So you came in just a few minutes ago, you and a bunch of nice people, to promote Star Trek Beyond. How does it work, an actor like yourself? And I want people to go and Google Dan Payne, because he's been in a lot of stuff, including this cool web series called Divine, which can be viewed at divinetheseries.com. And a lot of actors are doing that. They're doing movies, they're doing television, they're doing the internet. And it's soon to be this thing, because we've had a few people recently that have been doing a web series. And it seems more and more actors are plying their trade there because there's good work to be had.
There is. And you, the censors aren't as... you can do what you need to do, say what you want to say. Quite like your show. And
our show is... It's something else. It really is. Let's just talk about that for a few minutes.
Let's do
How do you get a guy with a sort of smallish part... In the movie, I don't know about your parts. Who knows what you're? Who knows what's going on with you?
I don't think he's got small parts, Howard.
Well, a lot of times, big guys don't have the. They're out in proportion.
Well,
I can either deny or no.
You know, I don't know what his parts are like, but you know, hey, you can't simply assume because he's a big man, 6'4", 220. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he's got shrinkage.
Yeah, you don't know. Oh, wait a minute.
Anyway, so what?
You were in locker rooms. You know.
Yeah, he knows.
Oh, I know.
Believe me. He was in there.
It was weird that he was undressed while interviewing.
Oh, absolutely. He did. He would take off his sweats.
Right. Yeah. Reggie Jackson, excuse me.
Just want to be one of the boys.
Reggie, can I get a few words? Just hold on a second while I take my pants off.
Yeah. Reggie, can I borrow a towel?
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? Why are you promoting Star Trek Beyond on Blu-ray?
Well, because anybody in any way, shape, or form who gets to be a part of that legendary legacy of films should find it an honor. And I do. It was a gift to be in that film. And that wasn't a huge role, but it was a key alien role. Joel Harlow, who created all these masterful creatures for the show. The Wadget character was his favorite, he said, and his first. And that was the role I got to get stuck into. And it was a five-hour get-up to get into.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, every day.
I'm going to see if I can get an image of what the character looked like. If you guys got a... Look at this guy. Dan, you know, see, I've seen... Now that I see... It's funny. Seeing Dan in person... It's interesting because now that I see your picture, I've seen lots of stuff that you've been in, as everyone has. But in person, you know, you're very, you know, humble and a mild mannered dude. Where's the picture of Dan in his role in Star Trek?
Let me just grab that for you.
Yeah, we know what we should do, Steve. Send it to us. We'll put it up on Facebook. Oh my God!
Let's see.
Look at this thing. Jesus, oh, wow. Son,
doesn't look like you.
Yeah, because it's alien. Alien. Here, let's put that up on Facebook, Phil.
I'm not sure we're allowed to. We'll have to ask. We'll have to clear it. There's clearance stuff. And
it's crazy.
I gave blood.
How tedious is it going through that every day? Like you said, how long did that take?
5 hours. 5 hours.
Like, you really got to suck it up for that. Holy cow.
Well, the first time, it's kind of, you're a kid in a candy shop. Right. You're transforming into this alien. By day 10, you're like, oh, God.
You had 10 days on there. You had that's a fairly significant amount. It's not like a one-day thing where you're, mm-hmm. like you were in the movie.
Yeah, it was about 14 days of filming. But it's a feature, right? They do maybe a page a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not tedious, but it is, there's fine detail work going on, whereas in a smaller budget movie you're doing 8-10 pages mm-hmm. a day and you're pounding through. But yeah, it's a lot of hurry up and wait, stand around and make sure they get it right.
Is
and
it a good is that a good check? Is that, you make good money doing that, like being an alien in Star Trek? You don't have to tell me how much, but I'm just saying, is it worth your while?
Absolutely. I make a comfortable living.
Good for you.
Doing what I love doing.
You seem like a nice guy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's not going to ask you how much, but he'd love to know.
You can tell me.
Off the record.
Yeah. You could just... it's got to be better than this stuff we're doing. Like, seriously. We're doing well, but we're not doing Dan Payne money.
Oh, I don't... I think we... Let's not... We can compare numbers later, but I think
Dan, you don't know, Dan, what's been happening.
Well, I heard you talking about kids. I have those things. They're expensive.
Goddamn right.
I don't know that I actually
make
money.
How old are yours?
7 and 5. Yeah.
Girls or boys?
2 boys.
Good for you.
I'm a late starter, too.
I had 2 girls. They're now 18 and 22, and I love them so much, but they will suck the life out of you.
Right?
They are just life suckers.
Thank God they're adorable. Otherwise, we'd leave them somewhere.
No, it's true. That's why God makes them cute, so you don't kill them.
Yeah.
Did you just say that's why God made them cute?
Yeah, God.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's why God... Excuse me, you don't believe in this guy?
He's watching us.
You must have been... Your kids must have been thrilled that you were in a very Muppet Christmas. What Muppet did you play? What?
Are you Snuffleupagus?
I'm a bit of a Muppet, overall. No, I wasn't. I got to be me. I got to be Joan Cusack's boy toy.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Joan Cusack.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah, she is. We've had John on this show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a great, talented family.
Yeah, very many years ago.
You know what the movie
was?
About 23.
Can I throw the
21?
23 years ago or something? Yeah. That's
what is that? I'm sorry.
No,
if it's too long ago, I can't mention somebody who's been on the show.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We haven't killed him off yet?
But by the way...
His prostate exploded.
You're dead. Next time someone asks me, what's up with Freddie? Oh, he's dead.
Mm-hmm. That prostate accident.
We had him on, but it was a long time ago.
My kids are more excited about the Disney Descendants movie that just...
Are you in that?
I am, yeah. I play Beast.
Oh, yeah?
Post-curse, not a big makeup thing. Just this ugly mug of mine.
Well, listen, I think it's interesting that they're still promoting Blu-ray.
Yeah, how does that work?
And DVD and digital HD...
Yeah, but you don't get the extras anymore. If you don't get that, you don't get those behind the scenes or the extras. I love that. That was my favorite part of movies, was the outtakes and the...
Yeah, I guess you're right.
No, without a doubt. But, I mean, that's got to be for a real buff, right? Those people that have Blu-ray machines. And,
I'm old.
It's true, though.
I'm old. I like the...
No, so am I.
Well, it's funny because I just left a house I was living in for about 6 years, and I had a whole entertainment system, and included a pretty nice Blu-ray machine. Blu-ray. And I just sold it along with the rest of my crap.
Yeah.
I did. But I think
so
everyone...
you can't watch you, that.
But
then.
I can, because mm-hmm. what I'll do is I'll come to your home, mm-hmm. and we'll watch it together. Can we keep this
but
copy?
Fred's dead.
Well, when Fred... I'll bring him back comes, from okay. the dead. So we can have this copy? Yeah.
Do you know what all I love right. about DVD, yes? though, still? Because... you still get to tangibly have a piece of
yes.
history for me. So that's what Star Trek Beyond is, the 50-year. It's a legacy.
It's
a long
pretty
standing,
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
And it is, and when your agent says you got that part, it must be kind of like I'm going to be in a Star Trek movie.
100%. I'm watching it with my dad and my brother.
Exactly.
When we were kids.
And this new incarnation, I think this is the third movie with what's his dude as Captain Kirk?
Chris Pine.
Did you get to work with him?
A second time. I did This Means War as well. And he's a handsome champion of a man.
All right.
Yep.
Have you ever been in the locker room with him?
Well, yeah, but it was... oh, sorry, that was off.
That was off, on the air. Off screen.
It's funny you say, what'd you call him, a handsome champion of a man? Because, yeah. honestly, you yourself might be one of the most handsome men I have ever seen. I have actually been in the presence of. You have size, you have build, you have look at him.
Do you have girth?
Thank you very much.
Do you want to know if he has girth?
The chiseled look.
Do you have any girth questions?
I don't care about that. And listen, there's nothing wrong with one man.
No one says there's anything wrong with it.
With one man saying another man is attractive. As someone who's never got to enjoy any degree of attractiveness, you...
Not true, but I really appreciate it. That's very kind.
Oh, and this is where we go, oh no, Fred, you're...
It is.
You're attractive too. Everyone likes you.
And I know
worry.
That's bullshit because it's not true.
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying, when I see someone like that, it's striking.
Do you think next to Dan Duran, who is our dear friend, do you think Dan Payne would be... how much more attractive could Dan Payne be than Dan Duran?
Only because the age thing has bitten Dan Duran a bit, this fella here. You're in your 40s, right? 30? Yeah. 40s.
Oh, thank you. No, mid-40s.
Yeah, mid-40s. Mid-50s, you start to look a bit...
That's right.
You look a bit tired and sagged out a bit.
Honest to God, mm-hmm. you're so right. Last night, my daughter, who was all dressed up in something, and she said, Dan, we took a picture together, and then I looked at it, and honest to God, I just wanted mm-hmm. to walk into traffic.
Because
I walk around thinking, you know,
I get it.
Listen, I don't know what you're... because you have obviously a comedic opinion of how you look. I think you're fine. But I walk around...
easy
actually,
for you to say.
I walk around thinking I'm decent until I see a picture of myself. Right. And honestly, it's all I can do not to stab myself in the face.
When I look at...
my kids ruin my dream.
Yeah. Why? How?
Why?
Oh, they're like, hey, Daddy, look at all that empty space on your head where your hair used to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's also gray.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love you.
When you get into your 50s.
But shit.
Imagine being a guy like Dan Payne. When you get out of bed in the morning and your foot touches the floor, your day is already at an advantage because you walk around looking good or normal or whatever that status is that
and,
I don't have.
What do you have? When your foot touches the floor and you put on your little geisha slippers and...
you're going to your little Star Trek.
Love those slippers.
Fucking Dan. Jesus Christ. Why do you guys get it all? Anyway.
Well, listen, I think that's great that we've had Dan, who's a handsome champion of a man, mm-hmm. in promoting Star Trek Beyond. What is this? Odella? What the fuck is that?
Is that me, Odella? What is that?
Oh, it's French, probably. Or de
oh, okay.
Like Beyond.
Oh, I see.
Dans le français.
I'm surprised you wouldn't know that.
Well, no, I just didn't know if that they would put the... mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it's...
well, it's got to be bilingual.
That we have to be inclusive, right?
Yeah,
that would
sure.
be a lot more marketable, Dan, if they put your face on that cover.
Oh, wait a second. Chris Pine's a pretty...
Chris, well, I think he's better looking than Chris Pine.
Oh, do you?
Can I stay? Can I stay? I don't want to go anywhere.
Let's... why don't we have a debate about who's better looking? Dan Duran or Chris Pine? What'd you say, Dan?
Nothing.
No.
I vote Chris Pine. Mm-hmm. I've never met Dan Duran.
Well,
sounds wonderful.
He is a great guy.
You've never been in a movie with a newscaster?
I might have played a newscaster.
I bet you Dan's in this Star Trek playing an alien newscaster.
You saw the makeup. They definitely wanted to cover this face.
Well, listen, Dan Payne.
Our buddy Dan Duran, I think he's... actually, he has credits of about, 80 movie titles?
Yeah, 60 to 80 movie titles. All newscaster.
I think it's like 70. 70 are newscasters.
Oh, yeah, and the other 10 are talk show hosts that used to be newscasters.
He figured his hit out. He's got his hit
figured out.
Oh,
dude, it's funny because we're all best friends, and he was here a couple weeks ago, and he said, oh, yeah, I got a couple days on this movie. I'm like, oh, really? And we used to ask him what the role was. Now we just assume it's reporter, newscaster, talk show host.
And you know what the thing is? He can't get a job as a newscaster.
well, that ruins my whole... Why, people say, why do you act? I'm like, because of the full range of stuff I get to do. I get to be an alien. I get to be a beast, a murderer, blah, blah, blah.
Well, listen, we're going to wrap up the show here in a couple minutes. What a great pleasure meeting you. I enjoyed it. I mean,
I'm not as
ecstatic as him, but, I mean, you're decent. I'm not that into him.
No,
I will get dressed. I'm so sorry.
You know, he seems decent, but I'm not like, oh my God.
What's the terminology? I'm comfortable in my own skin, or I'm comfortable enough to admit that when I see a good looking man, I'll acknowledge it.
Good.
A lot of men wouldn't do that.
Well, you're fantastic.
Aren't I? Aren't I, Howie?
You're amazing. Oh, you're so evolved.
Howie, tell me more.
You're super. Because the rest of us were thinking he's really handsome. I wasn't, actually. I was thinking he's all right. He's all right. He's not. Listen, if Dan Duran were here and
you thought you were looking in a mirror, right?
Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. Fuck, man. I saw this picture of me last night. Honest to God, I just wanted to go and just walk down Dundas in traffic and just have somebody run me over.
You know when Buddy Boy, what was his name yesterday? Carl, was it? Was here taking pictures?
Oh, yes. The photographer from across the street.
Yeah, Carl. Yes.
Carl! The whole time that camera is clicking, I'm thinking, there's a bad shot of me. There's a bad shot of me. There's another bad shot of me. How many fucking angles am I going to see of these shots thinking, oh my God.
I think Dan's heard enough. Dan's heard enough about your psychotic.
It's been a pleasure,
behavior.
Guys. You're awesome.
Everyone go get Star Trek Beyond. Thanks very much to
thanks, pal.
Everybody that was on the show. And we'll see you tomorrow, I guess.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.